Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
What's happening? What's happening, family? It's your main man, TJ Chapman, host of the TJ Chapman Show. We here are live in our new studio. Wow, I'm like super excited, Mama. We on TV, y'all. And it's been a long time coming. That's all I'm gonna tell you. And boy, do we got a show for you guys on tap tonight. Joining us like always, new co-host here, alongside me.
What's up, everybody?
Bottom is conversation. What's cracking, man?
Nothing. I'm excited.
How you like the new setup?
Right. New house. Who this?
And Mr. Funny Man himself, Mr. Comedian, Loose Cannon.
Absolutely. Like a Tribe Called Quest and a Pimp named Slickback can say the whole thing. You know, just
man, look at here. And of course, the one that makes it all go down to make sure that we are all on point, my super producer. You can't see her, but she's back there. Ashamed. Briscoe. She's in the back. Ashamed.
It is a shame that we didn't have Ashamed earlier.
it's a process.
Killer, right?
Hey, it's a process. But she's in the back, hard working in the back. And yes. Look at this. She got us set up with mics and
got us all professional.
We got a good show on tap, man. And coming at the bottom of the hour, we actually have the owner of the Orlando Phantoms. Michael Torres is in the building. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But tonight, well, we got to dive into it.
Let's dive in.
Because last week, if you guys tuned in, we kind of touched up on what it's like to be put in the friend zone. Morgan says she ain't like it. She didn't like it that much.
It's very lonely there.
It's lonely in the friend zone.
But see, you know the funny part about being in the friend zone is that 99% of the time, it's the men that's put there.
Yep.
In other words, men are the majority that gets put in that friend zone. And I asked Morgan last week, I said, have you ever been friend zone? And she like, yeah. And I said, how did it feel? She said, it wasn't a good feeling. Because when you think about it, women can't take that for whatever reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because, like, you know, my cooter cat good and oh, I look good and why this motherfucker ain't responding to me, whatever. But at later on in the show, I'm going to give you my 5 reasons why men decide to put women in the friend zone.
Oh.
Yes, I have my 5. I'm going to go from 5 all the way to 1. But we're going to actually dive right into it. Mm-hmm. So what is it like to be in the friend zone, Loose Cannon?
Well, you have to ask somebody else that question because I don't know.
You don't like the friend word.
I don't really do the whole friend zone thing, you know, because, you know, like I told you, I feel like that F word, as I call it, has been used way too loosely. All right. I want to introduce you to a new terminology. All right. I'm fine being a suitor. All right. So hold on. Let me get Google defines suitor as a man looking for a woman for marriage or a person pursuing a business, transaction or whatever, or just, you know, basically a person looking for a relationship.
Right.
Okay. So I'm fine just being a suitor and you don't have to title me anything else. I don't need you to fake friend me. All right. So I'm fine shooting my shot and my shot not landing. Okay, we don't have to pretend here, you know, because we really don't have a friendship. I tried to holler at you, it ain't work out. You know, it is what it is.
That's what it is. So Morgan, you've already alluded last week that
yeah.
you've been friend zoned.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't a good feeling.
Why I mean, I think anybody that has intentions of wanting more than just being a friend. I mean, of course you're gonna feel like, okay, well damn, all right then, you know, but I think the most important thing is what you do once your friend's on.
Right.
I think that's where a lot of men mess up at.
Okay.
They ignore the fact that they're in the friend zone and they keep pressing on.
But what about, it could be persistent.
But that's what I'm saying. Like
trying to get you out of that.
No.
I've seen that work for many brothers.
But it's like, it's a difference if the woman is genuinely interested and she's just playing this. But when you got a woman that's just not interested, don't hurt yourself trying to be persistent, think, oh, she'll come around. If she, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but we've seen them come around. We've seen uninterested women come around.
Because they decided they saw something, is like something hit.
Or they just got tired of everybody else not dealing with them and giving them what they want. And they finally gave this brother a chance, and then it worked out.
He's always been there and been right in your face all this time.
And
they end up cheating on their ass, because guess what? The man that she would rather have come around, and he'd be like, you know, it's like a pity party. It's like, you were invited to the pity. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, I can't do no better. That's a settle.
I've seen it work the complete opposite where a person being put all this a gentleman or even a woman at this case, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. A person that has been persistent for all this time, they finally get the person and then they cheat because it's like, dang, you done made me put in all this work, you know. I'm annoyed with you at this point.
Appreciate the friend zone and move on.
Now that we've established the fact that men pretty much are the majority that get put into that friend zone, so why do women decide to put the guy in a friend zone and they share all the qualities that women tend to complain about on Facebook, because, social media? Oh, I need a man that do this.
No, because, man, it's listen, because, let me tell you.
There's so many reasons for that.
But as a woman, let me say this. Okay. Every woman has a man that they have been in contact with at some point in their life where they know all they got to do is say the word and he is there. The reason why most men get put in the friend zone, the men that do get put in the friend zone are the men who are like putty in our hands. And most women, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, I don't like a man that's easy to get. If you're that head over heels over me, just like that, like to me, that says a lot about you as a man. That means... Any woman that look as good as me, that's got these qualities, you gonna fall for it, because it's just like, oh, I'll do all these things, and you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just for me. I like a challenge.
I'm laughing with all due respect to you, Morgan. That sounds silly to me.
But I'm just being honest. That's something. It's silly to you because guess what? Most women don't want to admit that that's what it is. And I'm just keeping it real.
And that's why I say, because I respect the fact that you're keeping it real and you're telling the truth.
It's a silly reason to do so. That's why I don't bother. If I'm not interested, I'm not interested. I'm not going to hang out with you. I'm not going to keep you in that zone because it's fucked up and it's unfair. And it's silly. It doesn't make sense. Just be straight up, because women be, I don't want to hurt his feelings, but he do all these things. And I'd rather just, if I got somebody that's going to do all these things and that even give you some pussy in the friend zone, knowing that they ain't got no intentions of going nowhere else near outside of the friend zone.
That's where that F word gets blurred, you know, that as I call it, you know. Cause see, now we're in a different type of F zone.
Yeah, you're a space filler. You just holding up space until somebody else come along.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, the way I see it, that's not
necessarily a bad thing either.
No. The way I see it though, as the woman putting the guy in the friend zone, most of the times it's the physical attraction. So does physical attraction have some type of high standard to where, hey, guess what? You're a good guy, but I'm not physically attracted to you.
Yeah, she's just attracted to the shit that you can bring to the table she went in. But for me, and y'all stay in the friend zone based off of your physical attraction. Like, damn, she's beautiful. I can do all these things. And then men end up displaying everything they can bring to the table, and it's all in vain.
So, all right. So how often or how quick do you make a decision if you see a guy in the gas station, grocery store?
I go off my instinct. If I know, if I don't feel it, then I just know.
So how do you go off your instincts? Like, is it how he dressed?
It's hard to be a man.
I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I'm in the grocery store. I'm walking there. I see you down aisle 12. You're trying to get the top shelf and all your dunk sticking out. Whatever.
If when I look at you, if you're not attractive to me, then.
But what's the attraction though? Because clothes, or is it like, okay?
No, it's just everything. Maybe be how you look. It may be your physical features. It may be what you have on. Like every woman has a different thing that make. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true. That'll vary. It's gonna vary.
It just depends on the dude. It may be something about his swag. It may be something that he said. It could be anything.
So is it all that about may talk say? Game?
It's a lot of things. You may have a good talk game, but I may think you're ugly.
Which made my point last week was the fact that, okay, when you at work, you may see a guy physically, that guy's not, he ain't attractive.
Right.
But because y'all work 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, well, hopefully not 7 days a week, but 5 days out of the week, 40 hours
That's
a week.
That's how I ended up married. My ex-husband was not my typical type.
Uh-oh.
I want to know this. I feel like we too grown to be pretending. Why can't we just say, No, thank you. Move it on.
Exactly.
But sometimes
you do. But men are what? What you said?
Persistent. And well, you know what? I always say men are like drugs. Remember the DARE program in school? They taught you what? Just say no. Now you might have, and I'm gonna tell you, as far as our persistence, some of our persistence is y'all fault. I'll go ahead on and jump out on the limb because some of y'all, because you don't want to seem easy, you'll purposely tell a man that you're interested in no, just so you can make him chase you a little bit more. So most of us, we really don't know the difference. We really don't. So we know we have to try more than once.
I don't play them games. Okay.
May not, but there are plenty of women that do.
I know, they are. They will.
You know? So some of that dilemma is created by the woman herself, unfortunately.
But men have to step out of that. Sometimes you have to take yourself out of why you're chasing and say, okay, is this woman really interested in me? Let me really just think logically about this. Is she displaying true intentions of being interested in me? Or is she just tolerating the fact that I just keep being persistent? I think men get caught up in the chase and they don't realize that a motherfucker really running from, even though she's looking back, she's still running from you.
Yeah.
But you so focused on the fact that she's looking back. You don't realize that she's running from you.
I can see it. I would tell any woman that I'm a lazy suitor. I'm for real. Like I'm a do nice things, but I can't chase you. I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, I think of something that I was going to talk to TJ about is like, I'm starting to feel like a lot of women don't know how to show reciprocity to a man, but that's the topic for another day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, at what point, you know, if I've shown myself worthy, at what point do you, you know, say, okay, all right, well, you worthy, all right, well, now it's time for me to kind of, you know, chase you, and now we run in a circle kind of a deal, so.
But if she doesn't, then it's your personal responsibility to say, okay, she's not showing that, let me walk away.
Absolutely.
You cannot get caught up on when is she?
Absolutely.
It's not gonna happen.
Absolutely.
Then you just, you
absolutely.
So, Morgan.
Yes.
Is it true that a woman can decide within 30 seconds if they're going to give.
That's one of the first things.
If they're going to decide
that's
to
one of the first things.
He's the guy that I'm going to get ass to.
Yep.
Number two, I'm going to give him my phone number so he can try to get the ass. Mm-hmm. And number three, yes, I will have him over to my crib.
Yes.
How does that stand though?
Because if you think about it, this is my logic.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. For women, sex is very important. It doesn't hold as much value as a man than it does for us. For you guys, it's commitment, because that's something that most men are not easily willing to give up, is get committed. So y'all know within the first few minutes whether or not this is a woman that you're going to take serious or somebody you just going to try to smash and go on about your business. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing, because that's important to us. That is going to be the first thing. Damn, am I going to get this man my body? Is this somebody I would have sex with? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be something I need to determine when I first meet you, because that's important to me. If I know I will never give you no pussy, then why even? Why even?
That's very interesting.
I want to, just for the sake of debate, okay. All right. Let's say, because you, like I always say, you, as a man, like I said, it's tough being a man, because we don't get to pick how, where, and when we meet you. Mm-hmm. All right. It's on site, okay?
Yeah.
I just got off my good paying job at, on the garbage truck. All right, I run into the store to pick up some rice for dinner that night, and I see your fine ass in the grocery store. Okay, damn. Now I got two options. I know I'm in my work clothes, and I know I'm dirty, and I might smell like hot garbage from being on this hot garbage truck all day.
Right.
But I got two options. I can let you walk out that door and never say anything, or I can regret within myself that I never said anything to you. So I step to you. You know, in my dirty work clothes. I'm like, hey, so sorry. Hey, if I might even say something slick to you, like, hey, if I would have known you was here, I would have dressed better, kind of a deal.
I mean, right? Attraction is attraction no matter what you got on, because regardless if you got on the if you got on your garbage outfit or you got on your nice suit, you dressed up. Women just know, just like a man knows.
But here's my question. All right. So, all right, you make your decision based off me that day, fresh off of work, that I would never. All right. We've seen this turnaround. What are things that make a woman change her mind? Because like Betty Wright would say, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. You know?
I mean, I think for each woman, it's different. I guess, I mean.
Typically,
probably it would be her circumstances or her mood or what has happened in her life. Because a lot of women move off emotions. And that's what we fuck up at. Because you may catch on a day where she, you know, then you might catch on a day where some shit, she done had a bad day. And you're there. And now she's more, you know, receiving of, you know, that conversation of saying, you know, because now she needs somebody to speak to, talk to, or whatever, about what she got going on in her life. So a lot of times it's because women move off emotion. And that would determine everything. When we have a bad day, I don't want to talk to you.
Wow. The way I see it is this. All right. So you have a guy that's coming in a suit, a guy that's coming off the dump truck or from the gym. Or whatever. Now, when you look at a guy, is it more so based on, or in this case here, with most women, do they look at a man's physical appearance on what they're wearing, how they look in the face, or is it just like, how can you get a vibe?
For me, it's everything. I'm a very observant person. So I'm looking at, I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at how you speak, what you say, you know, certain topics that are brought up, what your response is, how you, I'm looking at everything because I'm observant.
But you only got like 2 minutes because you're in aisle 12.
It don't matter. I'm already checking
that's
you out.
That's why I say it's so tough because, you know, men, we get 30 seconds to impress a woman.
That's it. And people say,
you know,
and people always say that, you know, the first impression is, you know, the only impression. And the fact that, okay, my talk game got to be smooth as cream cheese, like, right now, regardless of what
shit,
I got.
Shit, we get less than that. I think about sometimes, if I just got my natural and I see a nigga, I could see that same nigga in the club with my weave, and it's a
whole nother ball game.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Y'all won't even look twice at a motherfucker if she ain't your typical vibe.
There's some truth to that, I guess it varies. I know one time I had a specific prototype or whatnot, but I find myself further and farther away from that prototype. I find myself, you know, and I would tie this back into tonight's subject, you know, how you were saying that you feel like if a man's too much interested in you, then that's a turnoff, which it shouldn't be, because like my great grandmother once said, love who love you. And that's where I'm at in my lifetime. I'm a lot more interested in somebody who's interested
in me. What's
the
difference in being interested and overkilling? There is a difference in somebody being interested in a person and somebody being overkill.
Wow, that's very interesting. And and like I told you guys, I got my top five because women tend to feel some type of way when a guy decides to put them in the friend zone. They really do. So I'm gonna give you my five reasons why men typically would put a woman in the friend zone. That's coming up later on the show.
Can't wait to hear that.
But at the bottom of the hour, man, we got a special guest in tonight, the owner of the Orlando Phantoms. We got Michael Torres coming in the building. Hey, guys, we just getting started, man. Make sure you grab your glass of wine, your cognac, whatever's going to make you feel right. And, hey, I'm loving the new studio. We got about a couple more minutes. And give me your number one reason why you would put a female in the friend zone.
The number one reason why I would put a female in the friend zone, I'd probably just be like, huh, if she got a bad mindset, you know, if your maturity level or if your views and your goals in life are not on par with mine, I would probably put you in the friend zone, kind of a deal. Okay.
What you looking at me for?
It's your turn, baby.
Oh.
Why you put a guy in the friend zone?
Because I'm not interested.
Hey, That's simple enough.
He better off as a friend.
I personally don't feel like we don't have to pretend like there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on. Yeah. Wow.
But if we cool and I just rather have you as a friend, then let's just be friends.
Just like that. Go grab a glass of wine, y'all. We'll be right back. What's happening, family? We are back, man. We're at the bottom of the hour, man. Wow, we just finished talking about the friend zone, and hopefully some of you guys have learned something about being in the friend zone, because I've been in the friend zone on plenty of times, and hey, it's all good. Everybody like what they like, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe a good guy, but I might not be for them, but who knows? Hey, God already had a plan.
Exactly.
Joining us right now, as you can see, the owner of the Orlando Phantoms, Mr. Michael Torres. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Oh, man, it's been a long journey, man. I mean, I've had you on my live sets, and, you know, we've been on other, you know, talk shows, you know, talking about the Phantoms, but never in this magnitude.
Yeah.
And so now I get to actually have a one-on-one exclusive with you.
Yep.
Welcome to my home.
Yeah, all this time, you know, first time you ever asked me, you know, one of my coaches, and it took this long. What's going on?
It was like we were trying to figure it out. Okay, all right, let's do this. But I thought about it, it's like, you know what? I've never had like an exclusive one-on-one to actually talk about the Phantoms and the journey that it's taken and the umpteen years that, you know, you've been at it. So what better way than to kick it off in 2020? And the 10th year anniversary of the Phantoms leading up to the National Bowl weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. It's amazing. Welcome to the show once again, sir. So I'm going to just dive right into it. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to want to start a semi-pro football team?
Well, I mean, back in 2009, I had an employee that played semi-pro. He asked me to come on out because he knew I had played some football in my past. So I went out there and it was atrocious. Wow. The guys at practice, you know, drinking, smoking, and coaches really didn't care. Went to a game and the game was horrible. The coaches left at halftime.
Wow.
And I mean, I kind of felt bad. I mean, football kind of molded me, helped me learn a lot. You know, I'm a guy that grew up with two Cuban immigrants. So, right. You know, a guy kind of kept me out of a lot of issues to the park, you know, and got me involved in sports, and it kind of molded me into discipline and all that kind of structure. So I saw a kind of good niche where I can kind of help out. I kind of jumped right in. I didn't know much, so I called around, finding out how to get everything started, you know, insurance, right, corporations, all that stuff. And it was rocky at first, you know, but I stuck it out because I knew what the benefits could be.
Right. As most things, you know, when you first jump start and things, it's going to be rocky. Mm-hmm. And in part of that rocky process, how did you come up with the mascot name, the Phantoms?
Well, what I did, and even with the color scheme, I checked all the teams on the state of Florida, even most of the nation. And I wanted to find a name in the color scheme that when people, if people didn't remember the name, they could say that orange and gray team. Mm. Oh, the Phantoms, you know? Mm. There's a lot of Tigers. There are a lot of Colts. There are a lot of Lions.
Yeah.
And I wanted us to be, you know, somebody that is, you know, we're that team, we're that name,
right,
where, you know, where they knew who we were. I didn't want to be known by any other name but one.
Right. Okay. Well, now that's very interesting because I've never heard that story before. I'm learning a lot right now. So so I mean, I, you know, as being a coach, you know, I thought about the Phantoms, and you know, we knew about the Phantoms. I just never knew where the name came from. So this is a learning experience for me as well. Now, you're entering into your 10th year as the Orlando Phantoms owner. What's been the most challenging thing you've had to face being an owner?
Year in and year out is just staying focused and organized. And, you know, of course, sponsorships on a semi-pro or amateur football level is extremely hard because most even private business owners, they don't see the value in it because, and I understand the business part, you have to have a big audience for them to see value, which is a shame because these guys that play on a team, they go to work. You know what I'm saying? They're from here. Yeah, you know, yeah, you're I understand you're gonna support, you know, pro teams and all that, and that's okay. But those guys aren't from here. Right. Orlando Magic, those guys aren't really from here. Right. You know, and I understand both sides, but that's always been the struggle, is to get that support, you know, consistently over the years.
And so semi-pro has been known to being a bush league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said countless of times, and why, you know, a lot of, you know, professionals don't come and watch, you know, semi-pro, because it's been known as bush league.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually gotten a lot of talent from the Phantoms into a bigger area within professional sports. So what separates the Phantoms from other semi-pro organizations?
Is not accepting anything less than excellence. Most teams, these owners, they either play on the team, or they want to have friends, mm-hmm. and they forfeit a lot of the, you know, what's needed to run a successful organization. For me, was always understanding that I wanted structure. Mm-hmm. I want my guys to look clean.
Right.
They all look uniform. You know, there's no individualism even when it comes to the socks. Everybody wears the same everything. Yes, I want to play at the best facility, which, as you know, we play at the best facility in semi-pro in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. We have the best facility. I want to have a very good looking website, which we do, mm-hmm. Up to date. I got the best coaches, and we're very consistent in everything we do.
So you treat it like an NFL team.
Absolutely. Yeah, my motto is to run as pro as possible on amateur football level. And if I can't, then I fold the team.
Right. So besides winning championships, what's been the most rewarding part of being an owner of the Phantoms?
Seeing guys over the years succeed. Guys that have been troubled with the law, we've worked with. Over the years, I even talked to probation officers, district attorneys. I've helped guys get jobs. And then, you know, seeing guys, you know, move on, have kids, be married, never get in trouble again. That's a reward. Winning a championship, you know, that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But seeing them succeed and seeing them over the years come back, as you've seen,
absolutely.
That's the greatest thing.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And speaking of championships, how many championships have the organization won between both, you know, national and league level?
Three league championships and 6 national bowl.
Wow. Okay.
It'd be 7 national bowl on the 19th Sunday.
And so, and speaking of you know, the national bowl weekend this weekend, tell us a little bit about that briefly, as to, you know, what people can expect this weekend, what you guys have going on.
I mean, other than showing up and destroying the team from Kentucky, I mean, is you're going to see a very organized, a very professional looking team. You're going to see us play, you know, with good sportsmanship. You know, football, you talk trash, but then in the 9 years, we've never been in a fight. We've never gotten a scuffle, not even at practice. You're going to see how a professional team is supposed to be ran on this level.
Wow. And so matter of fact, when does the season start, first of all?
It's going to be first game February 29th.
Okay. And where can the fans go to, you know, follow the Phantoms?
Well, they can go to our Facebook, Orlando Phantoms, Instagram, Orlando Phantoms, Orlando Phantoms Football, yes. You know, as far as our on our fan page on Facebook, and then OrlandoPhantomsFootball.com on our website. And my phone number is there. It's not an email. You could call me right now if you want to talk to Coach T. They call me Coach T. So, I mean, I want to be able to be reached right away.
Wow. And before we let you go, you are working on a three-peat.
Yes.
You've won championships in 2 different leagues,
mm-hmm.
and have won back-to-back in 2 different leagues.
Mm-hmm.
This third league, you're looking to win a third championship three-peat.
Yes.
How gratifying would that be to do it on a 10-year anniversary of the organization?
Oh, it'd be great. I mean, there's a lot of things. Not just that. No team in Florida has ever won 3 straight championships in 3 different leagues. You know, also being able to knock off a three-peat champion already, who are the Mississippi Dynasty that are in that league.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of things that we're looking to knock on, you know, knock off our little thing. Plus, if we win 10 more games this year, we'll hit our 100th game one as an organization. So there's a lot of things that we're looking to gun for.
Left and right.
You got it.
Sunday, right?
Sunday, 3:30 at Lake Brantley High School. And actually, it's our home field. So,
I might have to check that out.
Come on up.
Be my guest and enjoy great football. And ladies and gentlemen, the owner of the Orlando Phantoms.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me, guys. You know, about time.
Welcome back. You guys, we're about to wrap this thing up, man. And I told y'all I'm going to come back with my five top reasons why men decide to put the women in friend zone. And believe it or not, women, they ain't too kosher about that. They don't like being put in the friend zone, but it's okay for them to put us in there and think it's all great. No, okay, I'm not worried that way. Put your ass in there too.
Okay.
So now we had our special guest, Mr. Michael Torres. And I got to ask him real quick before I get into my top five. Have you ever been friend zone before you decided to get married?
I'll be honest with you. If I ever was interested in the young lady, and she didn't have that you know same interest, I just kind of broke it off and went pretty split because I couldn't be around somebody that and play phony. So I pretty much cut it loose and went about my way to find. You know, I can't do it. And I do have friends that are female. But it's just friendship. It's more like a sister or something like that. But so I don't put myself in that predicament. So
you cut from the same cloth I'm cut from. We either is or we isn't.
Well, because I'm always going to have those feelings. And she will never have them. No matter how much I try to mask it, it's going to bother me. So I can't. And then if she gets involved with somebody, I don't want to you know, get involved my feelings and have some towards her and the guy. And I don't have that energy to waste.
So what you doing, my girl? And,
I'm old school.
We either is or we isn't.
That's why I say it doesn't make sense to me. Why stay in the friend zone?
Yeah, don't have to pretend friend me. You know, it just shot my shot. It just ain't work out.
It makes perfect sense. So, and for those who just joined us that missed us at the top of the hour, Morgan, you decided that the friend zone is kind of like the waiting room.
I feel like it is, and it's a long ass waiting room. It's
for
nothing. You're waiting for nothing because, like,
then that's not a waiting room. That's purgatory. It just that's what it is.
But men treat it like a waiting room. They treat it that way. They think, okay, she got me in the friend zone now, but I'm gonna break it down like Steve Urkel. You know, I'm wearing you down. I'm gonna wear her down until eventually, you know what I'm saying? She gonna pick me up.
But he had to turn into Stephon.
And he had to turn into what she really wanted.
And that's what she wanted. And then she got it. And they're like, wait a minute, hold on. You're the same person.
Right, you're the same person.
And so that's
but why go through all of that?
That's my whole thing about it. It's like, so you've been looking at me because of I'm a nerd or I'm this, I'm that. And deep down inside, I'm the same person. Mm-hmm. Oh, but this is what you like.
But you know, they say, don't be sad on your husband looking for your type.
I can totally understand that. And I was just having this conversation with one of my high school homeboy's mother. I bumped to her at a supermarket today. And he's getting ready to get married. Congratulations mm-hmm. to Aldrin or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's been my observation just speaking to people that have been married for like decades that the person you marry is usually somebody that you never expected. Mm-hmm.
Most people do marry outside of what they think their type is.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to get into my top five, like I told y'all.
What's your top five?
I'm going to start from five all the way to my number one reason. Okay. Why us men decide, and I can't speak for all men, because men, you know, men are different. But I'm going to just tell you what TJ's, why I would put certain women in the friend zone. All right, so start number five, real quick. We just ain't into you. just that simple. Just that simple. We ain't into you. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else for it.
Okay.
Okay. Number four. We don't have time for a relationship.
Okay.
Okay, that's a great one.
And I'm gonna just be real brief on that one. You know, being in a relationship, you know, comes with great responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if I got this going on, that going on, I ain't got time to put forth the effort that it needs to flourish a relationship. So instead of, you know, me, you know, playing around and, you know, I got time when I really don't, because it's going to end up in heartache and broken promises mm-hmm. because I just ain't got time for you. So therefore, I'm going to keep you in the friend zone. And when I got time for it, I'm going to holler at you. Just that simple. Number three, long-term commitment. You know, I ain't ready for all that. I ain't ready for the long-term commitment. Initially, I can see you fine as hell. But then once I have a conversation with you and I start hearing the things that's coming out your mouth, wait a minute. I ain't signed up for this shit. Yeah. You know, I ain't going to be able to deal with this right now. So, you know what? Let me just keep her in the friend zone because maybe she may change her ways. She might change her ways from down the line, but for right now, I can't see myself with you long time because I might end up cussing your ass out and we're going to get into some altercation and I probably end up going to jail. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, let's be friends because I ain't got time for long-term commitment because of how you presented yourself when we start having a conversation. It ain't all good and gravy beside the booty. Okay? Now, number two, we have enough respect for you not to take it there knowing that it could ruin the relationship. I say that because as a 17-year-old high school boy, we can always be like, you know, hey, I don't want to do that, but know what? I want to satisfy my needs. So I'm going to just say whatever you want me to say. You know, I'm going to agree to whatever you want to say. Because I remember one time I had a homegirl who we messed around and ended up, you know, at a intimate moment. The moon was shining. The stars was aligned, and it was about to go down. And she said to me, if we cross this line, ain't no turning back.
Then lying between love and how you name.
Instead of me being that 17-year-old boy, I'd be like, you know what? Hey, I feel everything about you. When knowing the fact, I'm not ready for you. I don't deserve you. So therefore, I'm going to just sit back and be like, hey, you know what? You're right. I got enough respect for you. Let's just stay friends because I ain't ready. Which leads me to my number one reason. We don't deserve you. Now, most people might be like, okay, I don't deserve you because of what reason? Easy. Women tend to know us more than we know ourselves, which is true. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we know ourselves. We know that we're not emotionally ready. We're not financially ready. And we're not spiritually ready. So to save all the heartache and pain, I'd just rather be your friend until I can find myself, I can get where I need to go, because at the end of the day, it's going to be a struggling relationship anyway of you telling me, hey, when you going to get a job? When you going to get a better...
That's a good number
one. When you going to get a better relationship? And mentally, I may not even be ready yet. So don't tell me when I'm ready, because that's going to cause a whole... strife in itself. Period.
That's so, a good number one. Right?
Then why friend zone at all?
Because I want you to be my support system.
But no.
I want you to be in my corner.
But you don't.
I like your vibe.
If you know that part, just like he said in the beginning, mm-hmm. but if you know this woman wants more, why even put her in the friend zone? Listen, why even do that?
I can't give you more right now, sweetheart. I'm gonna just
then let me go. No, then sit your ass down sweetheart. So the right man can stand up and then and give me what I need.
But sweetheart, guess what? Go ahead and do you. Listen, I value our friendship.
Is that how you do it, TJ? Because you see, you broke the rule a lot.
Come on, give it to him, TJ. What is it?
The best is yet to come.
What is it? Come on, the best is yet to come.
Hey, I'm letting you go. But guess what? We're still friends. Whenever you need advice, whenever you want to hang out, whenever you want to talk about this trash ass,
I'm good.
That's the emotional part when the guy puts the woman in the friend
zone. And I'm good. It's not even about emotion. Fine. Why can't I just accept the fact that you're not into me and all of your reasons and say, you know what? This is not the atmosphere for me. But and so we, to save we, you and I, no, because to save you and I both, let me take care of me now. So to take care of me and do what I need to do for me, no, because that wouldn't be wise. Because I know my feelings, and it would be best if we're not friends. Maybe later on down the road, I'm in a place mentally and emotionally where I can be your friend. But right now, it's not happening. I'm out of there.
It's okay for the guys to get put in the friend zone. But as soon as the guy put the woman in the friend zone, oh, no, motherfucker, we can't be friends. Let me be on by myself.
But that's what y'all should do, too. That's my advice to a man. Don't settle for the friend zone.
I do that.
That's what he did. He said, I'm not selling for no friend zone. I'm out of here.
At some point, you gotta be a responsible adult. And being responsible is sometimes doing things you don't want to for the betterment of somebody else. So you have to think of the other individual. Mm-hmm. You can't keep him on a hold of maybe one day because he's saying, you know, maybe. And you may keep her away from somebody she should be with because you don't have it in you to let them go. So you got to do that for other people sometimes and not be so selfish.
Well, I think that's the reason why most people decide to be in a long-distance relationship. Because next week's topic, we're going to talk about what it is to be in a long-distance relationship and does it hurt or does it help the relationship? And I know I have a co-host. I'm not going to say no names and wait till next week so they can discuss why they are in a long-distance relationship and how it's helped their relationship or how it's hurt their relationship. And also, we're going to have another in-studio guest, DJ Ravish. She's going to be on set to talk about her accolades, her career. And wow, it's just been amazing. I'm glad we're in the new studio. Y'all see the this right here, man. That's on point right there. That is on point. Wow. Okay. So I would like to thank my special guest tonight, owner of the Orlando Phantoms, Michael Torres. Got comedian Luce Cannon over in the building. My sidekick over here, Morgan Williams.
What's up?
And the one that made all of this go down tonight and make it seem all structured and all this great stuff. And how can I forget? Y'all can't see her on set, but she back there working. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can get cameras back there on her, but she back there. A shame.
It's a shame we ain't have her from the get-go.
Hey, but she done took this thing to another level. She back there. I do want to get, can you get a camera angle? So they can see what she look like.
I know, what her beautiful self.
Hey, and I engineer
and telling us, hey, fucking get up.
And I engineer over in the back, making all this happen, man, doing all the sound checks and got us with the mics and the nice setup.
Suge Knight.
That's another wheel. He's in the back, man. Big shout out, man. So, hey, guys, listen, this is a great network. This is a great show. All you entrepreneurs that are out there that's trying to start your podcast, a show, whatever. Hey, Culture Radio, Culture TV Network is where to be. You can find them. All you got to do is just Google up Culture Radio, the Cultural TV, or just follow me and click on the Culture Radio and get in contact because, hey, I'm happy. You happy?
Yes.
You happy? You excited? Let's get it. Okay. Till next week. Keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.